of 1.5 million children from the Holocaust, the only two names we heard that day were the names of the same two sisters that I had printed off and put in my purse.
The Joy Lucius book titled Priceless Pennies, Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust, is the miraculous story of family, faith, and friendship. It's available now at resources.afa.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Wanted to read to you from Romans chapter 12, such an important passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul says this, "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Offer yourself to the Lord every single day." And then he says this in verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." I want to talk to you today about the will of God for your life. I started a series on Wednesday nights at First Baptist Texarkana called Burning Questions. And we're dealing with the questions that so many of us have, questions regarding the Bible, regarding eternal security in Jesus. Can you lose your salvation, or is salvation eternally secure? Questions like that. Well, I did a question a couple of weeks ago on this subject, the will of God. How can I know God's will for my life? Some of you may remember Amy Grant back in the day, many, many years ago. She came out with an album in 1978 just simply titled Amy Grant. And Amy used to sing really strong songs, great songs. When I was in college and starting in 1980, we listened to a lot of Amy Grant, My Father's Eyes, and things like that. Well, she has a song in her 1978 album simply titled The Lord Has a Will. And this was the chorus.
The Lord has a will, and I have a need to follow that will, to humbly be still, to rest in it, nest in it, fully be blessed in it, following my Father's will.
So the Lord does have a will. He has a will for your life and a will for my life. And when we think about the will of God, you know, that's a question, especially younger people, they'll ask that question, younger Christians. Okay, you have big decisions ahead of you. We just had Dr. Catherine Pacehour on the program yesterday, who wrote a book about your first year in college, and it's a devotional to help people pass the course. And trying to remember, that was from yesterday. I slept since then. But it was about how to face that first year, really the first semester, because it's so hard, of college. You know, when you get ready to go off to college, when you get ready to go off to that first job, when you get through high school, you really are thrust into the world of adulthood. And it's kind of gradual as you go through college. But then, you know, you leave home, lots of questions, lots of decisions, lots of freedom that you need to manage. And the question comes into play, okay, what does God want for my life? What does he want me to do with my life? What am I going to pursue for a career? Who does he want me to marry? And where does he want me to live? And all these very important questions. Well, the Lord has a will. And as Amy Grant said, and I have a need to follow that will, to humbly be still, to rest in it, nest in it, fully be blessed in it, following my Father's will. Because the will of God, Romans 12:2, says that it is good and it's acceptable and it's perfect. It's tailor-made for you. Now, when we think about the will of God, some people have the idea that God is playing the shell game with his will. You know, you know what the shell game is, where you have the three coconut shells and you put some kind of a pea or some kind of a little rubber ball or something like that, a little sponge type ball that the illusionists use, and they swirl those things around. Hey, I'm going to put it under this middle shell, and then I'm going to move them all around, and you try and guess which where it is. And so you guess, and you always guess wrong because the game is rigged. But people think that God's playing the shell game with his will, and we're trying, Lord, what do you want me to do here, and what do you want me to do there? And it doesn't seem like God is just very forthcoming on his will. Well, we need to remember this. The Lord has a general will for every believer, and really for every person when you think about it. He has a general will that he states in his word. What is God's will? Well, 2 Peter 3:9, he's not wishing that for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So the Lord's general will for every single person is that they would come to faith in Christ. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He's not wishing. He's not willing for that. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And it says in 1 John chapter 2, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Jesus died for everyone. He does not want anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So that's God's general will for every single person. Now, once we do put our faith and trust in Christ, then God has, he reveals his will to us. His will to us now is that not only now we're saved, but he wants us to be spirit-filled. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, what's the will of the Lord? And do not get drunk with wine, for that is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants you to be filled with his Spirit. He wants you to be inhabited by his Spirit. That's salvation. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit. That is Spirit-filled living. That's the abundant life. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So that's God's will for us. Sanctification is God's will for us. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is that you abstain from sexual immorality. Well, that's the will of God for every Christian, that we would be set apart, that we would be holy as he himself is holy. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you, that you would be thankful and grateful and trust God in everything in life. So that's God's general will. That his will that is stated in his word like that, his general will is true for every believer. That's what God wants from you and from me. But now there's a specific will. That's the one that gets sticky for us. The specific will, what does God want specifically for me to do? Because obviously God doesn't call everybody to do the same job. He doesn't call everybody to live in the same city. He doesn't call everybody to, you know, go after the same person for marriage. So God has something specifically for you and me to do. And he made us like a puzzle piece, and he has that specific place that he wants to put us so that we would fill out the puzzle, the picture, so to speak, that he's putting together. And the will of God, Romans 12:2, is that which is good, and it's acceptable, and it's perfect for us. Because it's the way God made us, and the way God gifted us, and the way God wired us. The will of God is not like taking bad medicine to get well. You know, we sometimes think about that. We think that negative kind of thinking that, well, you know, if you really do God's will, you're going to be miserable. Because, yeah, I have to do it, but I don't want to do it. Because, you know, serving God is just a chore and a bore and a drudgery. It's not. The devil tries to work overtime to get us to believe that, to think negatively about God. Hey, the will of God, as Adrian Rogers used to say, the will of God is what you would want for your life if you had sense enough to want it, because it is good. And it is acceptable, well-pleasing, and it is perfect. It is really tailor-made for you. The God who made you, who knows all about you, who gave you your strengths, who gave you your weaknesses, who gifted you by His Spirit. Every Christian has a spiritual gift, at least one, maybe more than one. And so He has a specific job for you to do that would be very rewarding and very fulfilling. Now, here's the thing that is exactly true. God's will for your life, it's not impossible to know, and it's not half-heartedly discovered. You know, some of us say, well, yeah, I want to know God's will for my life, His specific will, but we don't really seek Him on it. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:13, the Lord says this, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." If you search for Him with half a heart, if you're just kind of, I'm not really that interested, but okay, I'll offer up a prayer here or there. God, show me what you want me to do. Well, He's not going to show you, because you find Him when you search for Him with all your heart, when you are really serious about seeking Him, seeking His face, seeking His will. God, what do you want me to do? God does business with those who mean business. So when it comes to the will of God, do you mean business? Do you really want to do His will? Let me just say, when you do, He will show it to you. And it is good, and it is acceptable, and it is perfect, and you will be glad in it, because the Lord has a will. And I have a need to follow that will, to humbly be still, to rest in it, nest in it, fully be blessed in it, following my Father's will. So how do you discover God's specific will for your life? You know, the Bible doesn't tell us. The Bible is a book of principles. It's not a book of go here, go there, do this, do that in every situation in life. It gives us principles to discern what God wants us to do. But it doesn't say, hey, Jeff, when you're confronted with this option or that option, take that option. It doesn't tell us that. Hey, when you're interviewing at First Baptist Texarkana and you're at Champion Forest Baptist Church in Houston, when they offer you the position, take it. When they ask you to come in view of a call, that's where you need to go. Hey, Jeff, you see that beautiful girl over there in the singles department, Debbie Cannon? That's the girl you're going to marry. Go after her. You know, I don't find that in the Scripture. The Bible doesn't tell us those things. And God leads us, obviously, by His Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He leads us by His Spirit, but He guides us with different voices. Obviously, there's the voice of the Holy Spirit, but there's the voice of Scripture. And God speaks primarily. When you're trying to find the specific will of God for your life, when you're confronted with, do I take this job or not take this job? Do I move to this city or move to that city? Do I date this person or pursue somebody else? Lord, what do I do here? And what do you want me to major in? And what do you want me to pursue as a career? And maybe you're in a career that you just have, you feel like it's a dead end, and you're in your late 20s, early 30s, and you're thinking, man, I'm kind of down the road in this career. What do I do now? And so you're seeking God. You know, Henry Blackaby calls that a holy restlessness. When you're walking with the Lord and you're doing a specific job, you're in a career, but there's a restlessness there. That's exactly what I felt when I was selling chemicals for an Alco Chemical Company. I was doing well. It was a good company. It paid well. Debbie liked the benefits with Nalco Chemical Company, and it was a hard job, but it was a good job, and I liked about 50% of it. I liked dealing with the people, and I liked you were kind of a respected person because you knew a lot about water treatment, and that's kind of a little niche in there in the engineering world. And so that was a good thing, but it was a very difficult job, and it was very technical, and I'm not super technical. And so I had this holy restlessness. God, what do you want me to do? I just sense that you have something else for me to do. And I began to seek Him with all my heart and praying, Lord, show me your specific will for my life. And it wasn't instantaneous. It was over time. And God created a holy restlessness in me, and He used His Word as the Spirit spoke the Word into my heart to prepare me to take that step, to hear His voice, as Peter heard His voice on the water. Lord, if it's really You, bid me come to You on the water. And He said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water with Jesus. Hey, we're talking about God's will for your life, for my life. How can you and I know God's will, specific will, for our lives? This is Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Listen, that question is an important question, because God's will is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking about the will of God for your life, the will of God for my life. That's specific will. General will is for all Christians. Specific will is the one we struggle with. Lord, what do You want me to do with my life? Where do You want me to go? Where do You want me to live? Where do You want me to work? What church am I going to go to? Those kinds of things. I want to be led by God's Spirit. I want to walk in His ways, as the Amy Grant song that I love so much says.
The Lord has a will, and I have a need to follow that will, to humbly be still, to rest in it, nest in it, fully be blessed in it, following my Father's will.
So are you following your Father's will? My wife, Debbie, makes fun of me with the musical selections I like. I'm kind of old school. I like the stuff that I listened to when I first got saved. I got saved in 1980, in January of 1980. So those formative years of my Christian life, that was the music that really speaks to me. We have the Gaithers coming in November, and I'm really looking forward to that. I love Bill Gaither. He's just such a super, super guy, just a great spirit, great heart for the Lord. And I just love that kind of music. And so anyway, the older stuff is my kind of stuff. And I like the older Amy Grant stuff. And I like the message of that song. The Lord does have a will. And you and I, as believers, we have a need to follow His will. And so the question is, well, what is His will? What does He want me to do specifically in life? And how can I know that? Since, as you said, Jeff, that the Bible doesn't tell us specifically, well, you know, move to Houston, Texas, or move to Boston, Massachusetts, or take this job, or go here, or go there. It doesn't tell us that, because the Bible is not a book of specifics, so to speak. It's a book of general principles to help guide us and to seek the Lord as he guides us by His Spirit. But there are confirming voices that will help you discover God's will, specific will for your life. And the first voice is the voice of the Word of God. God speaks, as I said in the first segment, He speaks primarily through His Word. And so we have to spend time in the Word of God, because the Word of God reveals the will of God, the heart of God, the ways of God. And the more time we spend in the Lord's Word, the more we get to know Him. And the more we get to know Him, the easier it is to follow Him. I like what the scripture says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Now, you got to be careful to do it. James says, don't be a forgetful hearer. Be an effectual doer. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, He said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them and obeys them, he's like the man who built his house on a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, does not obey them, well, he's the foolish man who built his house on the sand." And both the house on the rock and the house on the sand had the same storms. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against both houses. The house on the rock stood and the house on the sand was washed away. And Jesus said, "It fell and great was its fall." We have to hear the word and do the word. Now, you can't do the word until you hear the word. And so you have to spend time in the Word of God and be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Now, a little phrase I learned from an Adrian Rogers sermon years ago: to know the will of God in all things, do the will of God in the small things. To know God's specific will for your life, do God's general will for your life. And we said, what is God's general will for a Christian? "And everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you." God is not, he wills for us to be filled with His Spirit. He wills for us to be sanctified, set apart. That is, that you and I abstain from sexual immorality. And so we start doing what He says very clearly for us to do. And as we do what He says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, the day of His return, Hebrews chapter 10. So those things that are very easy to understand, the big question is, are you doing those things? Because if you're not doing the things that are very easy to understand, well, this is obviously God's will for me, and I say no to that, but I want to know the specific will. The Lord says, well, why am I going to show you that? You're not doing the basic things that I'm telling you to do. I'm not going to show you the more advanced things. So start doing the general will, and you will start to discover God's specific will for your life. To know the will of God in all things, do the will of God in the small things. So the voice of the Word of God, the voice of the indwelling Holy Spirit, and those things work together. God guides us by His Spirit. Psalm 32, verse 8, the Lord says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Now, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to impress upon our hearts certain things. You know, if I think most Christians have had the experience of reading the Bible, and all of a sudden we're coming before the Lord, and we're really seeking His will, we're seeking His face, and "You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And you're reading something, and boom, God just has those words. It's almost like they leap off the page, and the Lord is saying, "That's for you. That's in this situation. That's what I'm going to do here." And it'll be something that will guide you, because the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God. He speaks it to our hearts. He guides us through that. So the indwelling Spirit, it's just like Paul in Acts chapter 16. He wanted to go into Bithynia, but he said the Spirit of Jesus did not permit us to do that. And so the Spirit said no to that. And he knew, somehow he knew, that the Holy Spirit is saying no. But then he has this Macedonian vision where he sees this man from Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. And he said, we determined that the Lord was speaking to us through that vision. And we went to Macedonia, and then he preaches the gospel in Philippi. So the voice of the Word of God, the voice of the indwelling Holy Spirit. How about this one to understand the will of God for your life, the specific will of God for your life, is to listen to the voice of your passions and desires. God's not going to call you to do something that you're going to dislike doing, that is going to be misery for you. Remember, I said that the devil works overtime to get us to see God in a negative light, and so that we think that following the will of God is like taking bad medicine to get well. It's like the worst form of chemotherapy that you have to take, and everybody hates that, but you have to do it if you're going to get well. That's not the way the Lord works. Psalm 37, verse 4, one of my favorite verses, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, that word delight means to make yourself soft and pliable. It's a picture, the way I picture it in my mind, it's soft clay in the hands of the potter. And the Lord says, Jeremiah chapter 18, I'm the potter and you're the clay. And what's the job of the clay? To be soft, to be pliable, to not fight the potter, but to go with wherever the potter wants you to go, however he wants you to move. If you've ever done pottery, you know that one of the key components to having a successful time at the wheel is soft clay. If the clay gets hard, if the clay gets stubborn, it's very, very difficult for the potter to do anything with that clay. And so our job is to delight ourselves in the Lord, make ourselves soft and pliable in his hands. And then what does he say he'll do? He'll give us the desires of our heart. I had a desire in my heart when I was having that holy restlessness time in 1994, 95, and into 1996, I was having that restlessness. And what did the Lord want for me? What was the desire of my heart? The desire of my heart was to preach. And so I had two desires in my heart. I wanted to play basketball for the Houston Rockets. But here I was in my early 30s with bad knees, so that wasn't going to work. 5'10", and not a good ball handler, and so didn't have the skills to do that, although I loved basketball and loved the Houston Rockets. So the other desire in my heart was to preach the gospel. And so that was the one that God gave me, and he put that desire in there as I made sure my heart was soft and tender to him. So your passions and desires. I remember telling my urologist, his name was Chip Winkle. His dad was a urologist. I think his name was Ed Winkle. And I went to his dad first, and then I went to the son because the dad retired. And no lie, on the dad's business card, he's a urologist. His last name is Winkle, Dr. Winkle. On his business card, he had written these words, if you can't tinkle, come see Winkle. And, you never forgot it. So I was talking to Chip, his son, about the Lord calling me in the ministry, and Chip said, well, the Lord called me to be a urologist, and I just know that that was the plan that God had for me, and I was glad to hear that, and I was so grateful to God that he didn't call me to be a urologist, because I wouldn't have liked that at all. I love preaching the gospel, and I love getting to share God's word and lead God's people and be a pastor. That's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, some people, they would say, Debbie says all the time, she goes, I would hate your job. I would hate to have to prepare almost like a research paper, twice a week or three times a week. She said that would be overwhelming for me. And so God gives us different passions and desires. And so don't discount that when you're seeking the will of God, God's specific will for your life. He's going to give you a heart for what he calls you to do. And then fourthly, there is the voice of godly counselors. And godly counselors can speak into your life. And those who love the Lord and those who walk with the Lord, as you talk to them, they can help you discern God's will. Very, very important for younger people when they talk about getting married is to hear from godly counselors. The Bible says, "For by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory." When I felt like God called me in the ministry in 1995, July of 1995, I immediately talked to my pastor. I talked to my pastor's son, who was on staff at Champion Force, Damon Shook and Mark Shook, and I said, "I just feel like God is calling me, and so help me discern this call." And so they sat down with me, and they helped me, and they confirmed. They said, "We see God's work in your life. We see that His hand is on your life." And so that really, really helped me. Godly counselors, very important. And then there's the voice of God's peace. The Bible says in Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." Now, this is really, really critical. So how does God guide us? He guides us with His peace. And if you're getting ready to make a big decision, whether it's marrying somebody, or it's taking this job, or it's changing churches, or it's moving to this city, I mean, it's going to be a big life-altering decision for you and for those related to you, your immediate family. You're getting ready to make that decision, and you're asking the Lord, and you don't sense, I mean, God didn't send you a letter in the mail. You didn't get an email that says, "Yes, take the job. Yes, move to this city." So you're kind of like, "Lord, is this really you? I'm not sure if this is you." Well, the way you know is if you're getting ready to do something that God does not want you to do, you're going to feel a tremendous lack of peace, because God leads us and guides us with His peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That word rule means to umpire. Now, the umpire is the one who calls the ball fair or foul. So God's peace is the umpire in your heart. And if you're getting ready to do something God doesn't want you to do, you're going to experience this tremendous lack of peace. Now, cold feet is not the same thing as a tremendous lack of peace. You know, when Debbie and I were getting ready to get married, I was getting a little nervous. And I knew in my heart that she was the one that God had for me, and she was the one I loved, and still do to this day, love her even more today than when I married her in March of 1986. But marriage is for life, and so it's easy to get a little bit of cold feet. Cold feet is not the same thing as a lack of peace. A lack of peace is when you just sense this, "I'm making a huge mistake." And that's when you need to backtrack and say, "Wait a minute, Lord, I must have missed you, because if I were doing what you wanted me to do, I know that deep down in my heart there would be peace there, that I am doing your will." And so let God's peace guide you. And that's why we know, you know, when you hear somebody say something crazy like, "Well, the Lord told me to divorce my spouse and marry this person at work." That's like, well, baloney. He didn't tell you that, because he says, "Don't do that." He says that marriage is for life. One man, one woman for life. Now, we've talked before, there are some exceptions to that. The exception clause in the book of Matthew chapter 5, except for immorality. And if one person is unrepentantly adulterous, then you can't have a marriage there. But God doesn't lead you to break His law and his word because you want to do something else. We can know the word, the will of God, as we study His word, as we walk in His ways. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and we're talking about how can I know the will of God for my life, His specific will. And we're up against a break, but when we come back, we'll be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I would love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, have to keep them brief, but a brief testimony how God guided you into His perfect, specific will that He had for your life, and how things flourished, because the Lord does have a will, and I have a need to follow that will, to humbly be still, to rest in it, nest in it, fully be blessed in it, following my Father's will.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We've been talking about the will of God. How can you know God's specific will for your life? We can all know the general will, because God's general will is revealed in His Word, and He tells us, hey, this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. This is the will of God, that you do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. This is the will of God, that you, in everything that you give thanks. So those things are very, very plain to us. But the specific will, those are the things that are harder. But God does want us to know those things, and God does want us to be led by His Spirit. We're all who are led by the Spirit of God. These are sons of God. And so how do we know that specific will? Well, that's what we've been talking about today. And if you have a friend, a neighbor, a loved one who is wrestling with that, this would be a great program to share with them. On American Family Radio, you can go to Real Truth for Today on the podcast and share any of those programs that we have been airing, and you can use that to help a friend, a neighbor, a loved one. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We have our friend Obi on the line from West Virginia. Obi, welcome to the program this morning.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
I just want to share with you how I discovered my life work. I had just finished up the playground of college and faced with the very intimidating prospect of how am I going to get by. So I really wanted to know, Pastor Jeff, what I was made to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, money was not a factor. My primary factor is I wanted to be. I wanted to be happy in what I was doing. I wanted to be fulfilled in what I wanted to do. And I wanted to be of service to whatever I was led to do. I went to a quiet place in the library at college. And Pastor Jeff, I spent probably 2 months there. And I put down two columns. What do I want to do? Or what do I not want to do? Like, you know, do I want to work outside or do I want to work inside? And Pastor Jeff, after that time, it was like a light came on, and there it was. That's what I was meant to do, and I was absolutely positive of it. So just seeking who God had made me to be, mm-hmm. and who He had made me not to be, He revealed that in that time. And Pastor Jeff, I can say, you know, like 50 years later, I can say, thank you, Lord. What a blessing that time was, just seeking who You made me to be, regardless of how much money I would make, and that was not a concern. I wanted to know who He had made me to be.
Amen.
And I still pass that on to people today. Get quiet, sit down, and write what you would like to do and things that you wouldn't like to do, and by gosh, I bet you'll see something exactly what you're meant to be.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do, because that goes back to, you know, how God made you. He's not going to call you to do something that you're ill-equipped to do. So if He calls you to preach, for instance, one of the qualifications of being a preacher is you're able to teach. So if you're not able to teach, God hasn't called you to be a pastor. He hasn't gifted you to do that. If you can't, you know, you're not good at leading, you don't like that, you don't like studying, that wouldn't fit in with that specific job. And so remember, your life is like a puzzle piece, and we've all done puzzles before, and sometimes pieces can look like, well, that looks like it fits there, but it doesn't, and you find another one that's like, well, that is a perfect fit for that. And so I have heard it said, and this is so true, my father-in-law was the first one who taught me this, it has well been said, life's greatest discovery, let me get it right, I've written this down, and so what does it say? Life's greatest discovery is to know the will of God, and life's greatest satisfaction is to do the will of God. And when you know the will of God for your life and you do it, That's when you experience the blessings of God. You're right in your sweet spot, and you find that His will, and we're a testimony to unbelievers, that the will of God truly is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed every time I go on a mission trip, an overseas mission trip, that God hasn't called me to that as my primary vocation, that I'm going to be in Africa or Asia or the, you know, someplace like the Middle East. And God calls other people to do that. I've got great friends who are missionaries, and that's their heart. That's their desire, is to be there in that place. Well, God's called me here to pastor in America. That's where my heart, my desire is. And so God doesn't call us in the Christian life for all of us to do the same thing. We're all to walk with Christ and glorify Him, but we do it in specific ways that He has called us and gifted us to do. So good word, Obi. Thank you for calling in to share that. So don't discount, just as Obi said, don't discount the passions and the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And that kind of leads me to the last point. How can you know for sure God's will for your life? There's the voice of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the voice of the Word of God, the voice of passions and desires, the voice and the input from godly counselors. There's God's peace that guides us. But then there's just the voice of simple surrender. That's what it says in Romans chapter 12 as it begins the chapter. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. The very first step, you know, we held the best for last, so to speak, is just to surrender. The best ability is simple availability. Say, here I am, Lord. I'm surrendered to you. I'm offering myself as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice as opposed to a dead sacrifice that they would bring to the altar and kill that animal. Well, we bring ourselves to the altar and we are a living sacrifice. And we're saying, Lord, I die to myself. Not my will, but yours be done. And I want you to be glorified in me. And that is acceptable to God. That is pleasing to God when we're just surrendered to Him. When we say with Jesus, not my will, as He said to the Father, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. I want your will to be done in my life. I don't want to accomplish my will. I want to accomplish your will. And, you know, as I think about my own life and how I was established as a senior account executive or a senior account manager for Nalco Chemical Company, and had a big territory and had respect in the company and was doing well and getting compensated well. But I had that holy restlessness. And I said to myself, this was really what triggered it for me to take that step to get out of the boat and walk on the water with Jesus. I said, I don't want to be a guy who looks back on his life when I'm 70 years old and say, you know what? I always played it safe. I didn't take a risk. I didn't get out of the boat. You know, when Jesus was walking on the water, Peter was the only one who said, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come to you on the water. And he said, come. He was the only one who got out of the boat. Those other guys could have done that, but they didn't. They were too afraid. And, you know, we can say all the things that we want to say about Peter sinking and taking his eyes off the Lord and crying out, Lord, save me. But he did walk on the water with Jesus. He did get out of the boat. And I like the book title of John Ortberg's book, If You Want to Walk on the Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat. And that's the scary thing, especially for guys when we have a change in career, when we're thinking that I just got this holy restlessness, the Lord wants me to do something else. My friend Mike Lurch, he's been on the program before. He worked with me at Nalco Chemical Company, and his brother was in selling bonds and in the financial world, and so Mike made that leap, and he left a good solid job at Nalco to go into that full commission job and got his Series 7, all the things you have to get for the financial world, and man, he had to tap into all his savings, his 401k. He had a wife and four kids, and it was a very scary deal. And he could have gone down the tubes financially, and he got close. But then the Lord blessed him. And you fast forward now, it's been 25 years or more, and he's doing great. And he, that wouldn't have happened had he not gotten out of the boat and not followed what he believed was the voice of the Lord to say, Mike, this is what I want for you to do. And Mike loves the Lord, and he's an elder in his church, and God has done great and mighty things in him and through him. And that comes when you are willing to just lay down your life. You're willing to risk it and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you, and I'm safer on the waves with Jesus than in the boat without him. Well, we have Chris on the line from Tennessee. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call. This is such a great show.
Thank
you. Because this really deals with what a lot of people are going through. Where do I want to be in my job? What do I want to do? I'll just make it brief and short. Back in 2002, for the 12 years previous, I was a corporate manager trainer for three different restaurant chains. And I felt like I was spinning my wheels. I felt like I was going nowhere. I felt like I was losing my purpose. And I got down on my hands and knees and I said, God, you know that I gave you every second of every day back in 1995. So I'm coming to you again. Please take me where you want me to go. Show me that, you know, that I have a purpose that you want to give me. And so what happened? Went from the restaurant industry, jumped into a truck, hit the highways, and I stayed with the same company for 21 years. And when the company was bought out by a European company, the one thing that really made me decide this is not for me anymore was the fact that they concentrated so much and participated so much in the LGBT, you know, equity and all this stuff and all that junk. And it was just a sinking feeling. And I thought, this is disgusting. Well, I quit in December. I tried a couple of other places. And then now with this current job, I work for a company that focuses on nothing but taking care of the customers. And that's it. They don't participate in all that junk. And I'm so happy still out here on the road. And the reason why I think that God made me a truck driver is because at the time in 2002, there was a lot of recklessness out there. There were a lot of rogue and renegade drivers out there doing things they shouldn't have done. People were getting hurt and killed. And thank God, knock on wood, because every time I get in the truck, I say, Dear Lord, please don't let me be that guy. Let me be responsible. Don't let me make a mistake. Don't let me get anybody hurt, because I don't want to be standing there in front of somebody's family and saying, I'm sorry, your family member is dead or hurt because I was being irresponsible. I've never had a wreck. And that's, I'm telling you, like your first caller, be still, be still. Don't fret. Don't worry about the money. He will take you where he wants you to go. And that's what he did. I mean, you know, I didn't worry about when I quit back in December. I didn't care about the money. I took my time and did things around the house. I stayed still. He put me right here where I am. And this job, I absolutely love this job. I love my coworkers. I love my management. And don't ever fret. Just put everything in his hands and he will put you in the occupation that he wants you to be.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Years ago, I wrote an article to my mother. She was still alive then. I'd like to share it with you. It's simply called Thanks, Mama. Thanks, Mama. That's about the best way I know to say it. For all the things you gave me and did for me in my formative years. I'm a grown man now. And I can look back at my life at home with more objectivity than when I was growing up. Thanks, Mama, for taking me to church. I can remember when we lived quite a long way from church, but come Sunday, we went. I can remember that my clothes weren't quite as fine as the other kids' clothes, but that didn't stop me from learning about the love of God. And there was that stage I went through when I rebelled against attending church. I remember the day I went to Sunday school and didn't skip the worship. I remember getting home and the lecture you gave me. I went the next time. I may not have wanted to, but I did. And I'm richer because of it, because you cared enough to discipline me. Thanks also for standing beside me during trying times. I recall the time in high school when the principal and I had a misunderstanding. I thought I was doing what was right and was standing on a principle, and you stood beside me. If there was ever a doubt in your mind as to whether or not I was doing what was right, it never showed. I believed you believed in me, and I needed, desperately needed.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.